الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue reading in the portion the author she mentioned حفظها الله تعالى تربية الأولاد, cultivating and raising and nourishing, teaching and educating the children, disciplining them with the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, the light of the revelation, that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we continue reading the points that she has mentioned, and we are on point number 13. She says, حفظه الله تعالى علميه أن يستأذن إذا أراد أن يدخل. قال الله تعالى, يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليستأذنكم الذين ملكت أيمانكم والذين لم يبلغوا الحلم منكم ثلاث مرات من قبل الصلاة الفجر وحين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة ومن بعد صلاة العشاء ثلاث عورات لكم ليس عليكم ولا عليهم جناح بعدهن طوافون عليكم بعضكم على بعض كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم. So she mentions her advice here for the noble sisters. She says, and teach him, meaning teach the child, whether it's male or female, and teach the child that it should seek permission, and يستأذن إذا أراد أن يدخل, that it should seek permission if the child intends to enter and come to the room with the parent, or to come into the room with the parent. Allah the Most High, He says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليستأذنكم الذين ملكت أيمانكم والذين لم يبلغوا الحلم منكم ثلاث مرات. O you who believe in Allah and believe in the last day and believe in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow his way. O you who believe, those whom your right hands possesses, and likewise those amongst you who have not reached the age of puberty, meaning from the children and the likes, they must seek your permission three times throughout the day. They must seek your permission three times throughout the day. And Allah, He says, من قبل صلاة الفجر وحين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة ومن بعد صلاة العشاء. Those three times throughout the day is before the prayer of al-fajr. And likewise, whenever you take off your garments in the midday for the qaylula, in the heat of the midday, and likewise after salat al-isha. After Salat al-Isha, and Allah, He says, ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ, that these are three times that are private for you. These are three times that are private for you. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْهِمْ جُنَاحٌ بَعْدَهُنَّ, and there's no blame. There's no blame upon you, nor upon them for the times other than that. Any meaning that they can enter as they need, and as is easy and facilitated for them. As for in these times, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the believers that those children who are before the age of puberty and the likes, anyone who wants to enter upon them in these times, they must seek permission. وَالَذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ, and those who do not reach the age of puberty, three times. And that is the time of before Fajr, and the time whenever the heat of the midday comes, and in the evening after Isha, three times of privacy for you, and other than that, there's no blame upon you and no blame upon them. طوافون عليكم بعضكم على بعض, meaning that they are coming around you, that you come around one another, any often, meaning that your children and the likes will be around you throughout the day and throughout the different places in the home, and this is for their need to be around and to serve their parents and to help them and to answer their call and the likes like this. So these other times, it's allowed for them to enter and to move freely. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ, in this manner, Allah, He clarifies for you His signs, His proofs, His verses. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ, that Allah, He is the all-knowing and the all-wise. The all-knowing and the all-wise. So we see that from the noble manners and from the etiquettes of al-Islam, and likewise from the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that the parents, they must order their children and those in their house to seek permission before entering upon them in these three times specifically. And this is before the time of Al-Fajr, and this is the time of sleeping, and many times a person, whenever they're sleeping, they're maybe not sleeping in the proper clothes that's suitable for their children to walk, to see them in. Or maybe a man is with his wife in that manner that's not proper or suitable for the child to see. So therefore, it's incumbent before the child enters at this time, whenever there's a probability that this could be occurring, that they must seek permission. And likewise in the midday as well, which is in the time of the Qailula. And it's known in this time, the Arab and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to relax in the midday heat, and they would rest at this time. And many times likewise, this will be a time for taking off the garments and relaxing in one's room in privacy. So therefore as well at this time, it's an obligation for the child and for the other members of the household to seek permission before entering. They will knock and seek permission, and they will not barge in. Rather, they will seek permission. And likewise after the Salat of Arisha, meaning also at nighttime, again after the night prayer, whenever it is time as well for sleeping. So these are times whenever it's not proper for the child to enter upon the parents except with their permission. They will not barge in through the door, rather they should knock and seek permission. And this is from the good and noble manners. And this is from the good and noble manners. And likewise from the preservation and protection of the awrat of the parents. And likewise their honor and their reputation, and also the eyes of the children, that they will not see something that's not proper for them to see. That they will not see anything that's not proper for them to see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, likewise, He says, وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمَ فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And likewise, those children who have reached the age of puberty as well, they must also seek permission, just as those before they sought permission. And Allah, He clarifies for you His signs, His evidences, and His proofs, His deen, His religion. And Allah, He is the all-knowing and the all-wise. And Allah, He is the all-knowing and the all-wise. So this is from the noble manners of Al-Islam, that in these times specifically, whenever the parents there are alone in their room at nighttime, whether it's in the beginning of the night or in the end of the night, that the children, they will not enter except by seeking permission. Except by seeking permission. And likewise in the midday. And likewise in the midday. And this is from the noble and the good manners. And this is from the noble and the good manners. So this is an indication that the parent, the mother specifically, she would discipline her child with the discipline of the sunnah, with the discipline of the Quran and the sunnah. This is an example of that. But likewise, the rest of the manners and the etiquettes that one must abide by in their home as well. The mother, specifically, she will teach her child these affairs. Likewise, the father. But here the advice is for the sisters. So therefore, sister, if you have a child, it's incumbent for you to teach your child the etiquettes and manners of the home that has been displayed in the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she has mentioned some of those etiquettes from eating and drinking, and likewise giving and taking. Also, whenever one enters the home, we have seen as well, these are from the etiquettes that one must mention the name of Allah and the likes. All of these are from those noble manners of Al-Islam that is incumbent for the parents and the guardians, especially the mother, to cultivate their child upon that way from an early age. So she says the point number 14, عَلِّمِهِ الْأُمُورُ الْمَنْهِيَةَ عَلِّمِهِ الْأُمُورُ الْمَنْهِيَةَ لِيَجْتَنِبَهَا. ففي الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال أخذ الحسن بن علي رضي الله عنهما تمرة من تمر الصدقة فجعلها في فيه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خخ ارمي بها أما علمت أن لا نأكل الصدقة. So now she says حفظها الله تعالى, my sister, you must teach your child the affairs that are prohibited. You must teach your child the affairs that are prohibited. Any of those things that Allah has declared to be haram and not allowed, and permissible, and they are forbidden. And forbidden, you must teach your child these affairs in order for the child to avoid them and stay away from them. So this is an indication likewise that the mother, she must know those affairs first. Because as the Arab, they say, فَقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The person who does not have something, he cannot give it. So before a mother can teach her child to avoid and stay away from that which is impermissible, that she must first learn and avoid and stay away from that which is impermissible herself. So from the greatest affairs that are prohibited are those affairs that would invalidate the Islam. And the greatest prohibition is the prohibition of a shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any aspect. And likewise, after that as well, innovations, the different types of innovations that are ascribed to the religion that the religion is free from, or ascribed to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet the Messenger is free from that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are from the greatest affairs that are prohibited. And likewise, after that, the major sins, al-kabair, the major sins, which are from the most dangerous of affairs. After the issue of a shirk, the major and the minor shirk, and likewise after the issue of innovation, the most dangerous affairs that could bring deficiency and weakness to a person's religion and be a means for him to go astray and fall into misguidance, are the affairs of the major sins. The major sins of the heart, and the major sins of the tongue, and the major sins of the eyes, and the major sins related to the rest of the organs and the body parts. And likewise after that as well, the minor sins. So she is advising you, my noble sister, that you must teach your child those affairs that are prohibited in order to avoid them and stay away from them. And this is very important, to raise the child from an early age upon the clarification of that which is allowed and that which is not allowed, about the halal and the haram. And to remind the child likewise that the reason why they are being prohibited, or the reason why they are not allowed to have this particular item, or this particular toy, or this particular garment, or this particular food, or to be in the company of this particular individual, or to watch these particular shows, and the likes like this, is because they are prohibited and Allah, He does not love them. It's because they are prohibited and Allah, He does not love them. And those who perpetrate or commit that which Allah, He does not love and does not allow, then they're exposing themselves to the punishment and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So to mention this affair, to clarify this to the child, that which is impermissible, even though the child maybe at this time is not held accountable for his statements or his actions, he's not held accountable himself, but the parent is held accountable for cultivating and raising that child. So even if the child were to commit a crime or to perpetrate some of the prohibitions, then he would not be held accountable for that. But if the parent allowed that and did not prohibit him or stop him or cultivate him upon that, then likewise the parent will be held accountable. So although the child is not held accountable and responsible, the parent, no doubt, or the guardian, is held accountable and responsible. So for example, it's not allowed for the male. It's not allowed for the male to lower his garment below his ankles. So likewise, it's not allowed for the parent to allow the male child to lower their garments below the ankles. And one will not say, oh, he's just a little boy, he's 5 or he's 6. Rather, he should not be allowed to do that which is impermissible. He should not be allowed to become accustomed to that and to become used to that. Rather, he should know that it's not permissible in the first place, from the very beginning, whether he's held accountable for that or not. And this is called cultivation and upbringing. Because if it's ingrained in the heart and in the soul from the early age, even before it's an obligation, then by the time it's an obligation, it will be easy for the child and facilitated. And he will have light with him and guidance, and he will be accustomed to following those rulings. So therefore, it will not be hard for him to comply and to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore the accountability will be light in his case. But as for the child who's left alone to follow his desires without any clarification until he reaches the age of puberty, and then he's told, now this is not allowed, you cannot do it, this is haram, it's not permissible, now it'll be difficult for him to leave that after his soul has become accustomed to that and attached to it. So this is the whole wisdom behind this, and the author, she's mentioning here an evidence for this clearly. And she says, and in As-Sahihain, from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma, Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhuma, and Al-Hasan, as we know, he's one of the beloved grandsons of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was in the company of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some narrations mention that he was in his lap. It's mentioned that he was in his lap, and that Hassan radiallahu anhu, he took a date from the dates that were for charity, the dates that were for the zakat. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time, he is dealing with the zakat, and he's dividing that up. And from the zakat that's being divided are some dates. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unaware, and Al-Hassan radiallahu anhu, he takes one of the dates and he puts it in his mouth. فَجَعَلَهُ فِيهِ. He put it in his mouth. He put it in his mouth, radiallahu anhu. He's just a young child at this time. He's a little boy at this time. A baby, a tifl, at this time. And the Messenger of Allah seen him, and he said, khikh, 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 khikh. This is a statement that a person, he will say to a child in order to reprimand him, in order to forbid him and cause him to stop. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade him immediately. Khikh, khikh. Ear me. What does that mean? Spit it out. Put it out. Get it out of your mouth. Ear me. Ear me. Biha. Get it out of your mouth. Spit it out of your mouth. Amma adimta. Anna la nakulu sadaqa. Did you not know that we do not eat the charity? And did we not take the charity? And one narration, أَنَّهُ لَا تَحِلُ لَنَا صَدَقَةً, that the sadaqah is not allowed for us? Did you not know? And some word is likewise, أَمَا شَعَرْتَ, did you not realize that the charity is not allowed for us? That eating and taking from the sadaqah, the charity, is not allowed for us? So here the Prophet ﷺ stopped him and reprimanded him and ordered him to spit that date out of his mouth, and he's just a little boy and he doesn't know. And then the Messenger ﷺ, along with that reprimand, he's addressing him as if he knew, in order for those around him to hear. In order for those around him to hear, and likewise for him to learn. And likewise for him to learn. Of course, maybe he did not know, or maybe he had been told, and maybe he forgot, or maybe he did not know. In any case, he was a young boy. He was a young boy, but the Prophet ﷺ did not leave him to perpetrate that prohibition. Rather, he reprimanded him and stopped him. Rather, he reprimanded him and stopped him, and then he mentioned the wisdom behind that. Because this charity here is not allowed for us. It's not allowed for us, meaning not allowed for the Messenger ﷺ and his family. And his family. So he stopped him. He prohibited him. He forbade him and reprimanded him in order for him to realize and to know. Even at this time, whenever the child, and even at this time when Al-Hassan himself, radiallahu anhu, is not at the age of puberty, and he's not held accountable for his actions, but he's still ordered with the good that one knows, the order of kindness and the order of encouragement, and likewise they're forbidden. He'll be forbidden in a manner as well. That will be a means of cultivation and discipline for the child. So this is the case. The children, they must be disciplined from the very early age. And from that, this issue here that's mentioned specifically, teaching them and informing them and forbidding them from that which is impermissible in the deen of Allah. That which is considered impermissible and not allowed. And this is from the means to reach a high state and to have strong and firm faith. That a person, he will cultivate himself upon avoiding and staying away from that which is impermissible. Because the believers, they all share in the fact that they perform the righteous deeds. All of the believers, all of the Muslims, they pray and establish the prayer. All of them, they fast the month of Ramadan. All of them, they're doing generally the good deeds. But as for avoiding and staying away from that which is impermissible, this is something that is distinguished. And only those who are sincere and truthful in their faith are able to perform that, are able to establish that. So this is something that would determine the strong from the weak and the truthful from those who are contrary to that. So learning about the prohibitions is very important. Learning about the prohibitions and that which is contrary to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which is not allowed from statements and actions and deeds, and even before that from creed and affairs of belief, to learn these things and to know them in order to stay away from them and avoid them. As she mentions here, عَلِّمِهِ الْأَمُورِ أَلْمَنْهِيَةَ لِيَجْتَنِبَهَا. You must teach him, my sister, you must teach the child the affairs that are impermissible in order for the child to avoid them and stay away from them. So likewise, from the best means of teaching the child likewise these affairs is that you, my noble sister, as well will know them, and you will avoid and stay away from them yourself. And you will not tell the child to leave something or to not do something, yet you are doing it yourself. This is contrary to cultivation. Rather, this is sending those mixed messages. And many times the person who moves in this manner, their statements will become light. And the people who hear them, they will realize that what they're saying, even if it's something good, although they do not perform it themselves, this is an indication of a weakness in their self. And many times their statements will be rejected because of that. So if you're teaching your child to not backbite, yet you backbite, or you're teaching your child not to lie, yet you're lying, or you're teaching your child not to gossip, yet you're gossip, or you're teaching your child to wear the proper hijab, yet you do not do that, then this is all going to be any contrary to the proper cultivation. So first and foremost, my noble sister, you must establish these affairs in your life and learn that which is impermissible and avoid them. And for this reason, the people of knowledge, they have written works clarifying the shirk in great detail, the major and the minor. The books like the Kitab al-Tawheed, for example, to clarify the proper belief and creed and the right of Allah and that which opposes that likewise. And they have written works clarifying that which invalidates that Islam in entirety. And they have written works likewise clarifying the major sins. All of these books here are very important to read and to study and to go over and to review. And even better, to memorize and to learn and to teach. So it's very important to be upon these affairs. A person of the Sunnah is a person of knowledge. a person of the Sunnah is a person of knowledge. Al-Islam is a deen of knowledge. A Salafiyah is based upon ilm. From the greatest principles of a Salafiyah, rather from the first foundation of that, is talabul ilm, seeking knowledge and applying the knowledge, seeking knowledge of that which the Salaf were upon, beginning with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions radiallahu anhu, from creed and from belief, and from worship and manners and conduct, and from how they carry themselves and their demeanor, and likewise from contracts and dealings. Contracts and dealings, to learn these affairs, to have diligence and have time and care and concern for learning, learning the way of the Salaf al-Sadi, and then striving against one's soul to implement that, to implement that. So she says, number 15, ishrahi lahu ma'na al-ayati aw al-hadithi alladhi taqra'inahu alayhi. She mentions the 15th point of advice. She says, my sister, that you must teach your child the meaning of the verse or of the narration that you are reading to him, that you're reading to him. This is very important. You must teach your child the meaning of the verse. For example, maybe the mother, she's teaching her child some verses from the Quran to memorize them. She's reciting to the child verses from the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, or Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, or Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, or Ayatul Kursi, or other than that, or some of the adhkar from the ahadith, as she mentioned here, the narration, some of the adhkar in the morning and the evening, or some other beneficial narrations from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that is suitable for the child. She is saying that you must explain those texts for your child. You must explain them. You not just read them to the child. Even if the child is Arab and understands Arabic and understands Al-Arabiyya, likewise, that child, it needs an explanation, any of those words and what it means, and the benefits that are derived from there in general, and likewise the rulings that may be found in the likes of those texts, any of the general and most important rulings that are found there. So therefore, a person, he will not teach his child simply to memorize something he does not know what he's saying. Rather, he will teach him to memorize those affairs, and then along with that, clarify the meaning. Clarify the meaning and the benefit of that. Clarify the meaning and the benefit of that. And this doesn't require for a person to give a great detailed explanation and go into the Arabic language and the benefits in the grammar and in the sarf, or in the benefits of usul al-fiqh and great law. You just teach him the fundamentals that are found in those narrations. The fundamentals that are found in those narrations and the general benefits that are clear from those texts in order for the child to benefit and to know. Any of the manners that are there, the benefits that are there, the admonishment that is there, the reminder of the hereafter that is there, and the likes like this, and the tawheed of Allah that is there, and the halal and the haram that is there, and so on and so forth. You clarify the meanings of these narrations, you clarify the meanings of these ayat, of these verses, and these narrations to your child. So one, he will not teach the child to simply memorize, and then memorize Quran, and memorize hadith, and memorize adhkar, and then recite them even daily, but not know anything of that which they're saying. The benefit of this is going to be very little, if there's any benefit at all. No doubt the recitation of the Quran, even one letter, has great barakah and blessing in it, but the intent from the recitation of the Quran is to understand the meanings and to follow them. To understand the meanings and to follow them. So this is a great calamity that we're facing today, and from the traps or from the tricks of the enemies of Al-Islam is to encourage the believers, if they're going to memorize the Quran, just to memorize it and to not understand what they're saying. To have great care and concern with memorizing the letters of the Quran, memorizing the verses of the Quran, but not understanding what it means and what it requires. And therefore, maybe one of them will memorize the Quran entirely, but then they will oppose it in entirety. They will oppose it in their manners and their conduct and their actions and the likes like this. And many times those parents who have great concern with memorization only, they will hasten and hasten for their child to memorize, and maybe possibly the child did not even memorize properly. And if one of the children is checked and by a correct teacher, he will realize that the memorization is very weak or deficient, and that in reality they had forgotten half of that which they memorized in the beginning of the process, and maybe they only memorized a little, or that which remains in their memory is very weak, and the likes like this. And then they'll say, oh, my child memorized the Quran, and then they'll send him off into the lands of the disbelievers, or into mix in the public schools, or to mix in the college, or the likes like this. And as if they memorized the Quran and that's sufficient and that's it. Even if they memorize the Quran precisely, then along with that, they have to understand what it means, because the one who memorizes the Quran and then he does not abide by the law and legislation therein, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Al-Quran hujjatun laka aw alayka," that the Quran is a proof for you or against you. So those who learn the Quran whether they memorize it or even if they learn the meanings of the Quran or they understand the laws and the limits that are mentioned there, and then they oppose them or they do not implement them, then this is from the greatest means to earn the anger of Allah. From the greatest means to earn the anger of Allah. And in this manner, the Quran will be a proof against the person. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to teach the child the meanings in general of those verses, and to teach the child the meanings of those narrations in general, and in order for them to understand and to know, and to the same way that one, the same way that you will teach the child the ayah by repeating after you, a talqeen, or the hadith by repeating after you over and over. Likewise, you teach him the meaning. So whenever you ask him to read Al-Fatiha and you check him, likewise you ask him, what does it mean? What does Alhamdulillah mean? What does Alhamdulillah mean? Who is Allah? What does Alhamdulillah mean? What is Rabbul Alameen? Rabbil Alameen, what does this mean? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You'll question him and ask him until they know the Arabic and the English in general. They have a good idea and understanding of this affair. And then as they get older, likewise you can mention even more benefits and greater details that will be a means of fortification for them and strengthen their faith and strengthen their deen, so that they will have certainty in that which they believe and they'll be strong and good and upright Muslims by the permission of Allah. After this, she says, number 16, عَلِّقِ قَلْبَهُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, that you must attach the heart of your child to Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Attach the heart of your child to Allah. Do not attach the heart of your child to the worldly affair. This is what she means. Attach the heart of your child to Allah. And this will be by going back to the previous advice that she had mentioned. From that, the advice of Luqman that we have seen in our previous class. And from that, likewise, even more important before that, is the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Ghulam, which was for Ibn Abbas, and whenever he taught him that the Aqidah, that one, he must believe in the decree of Allah, and the command of Allah, and in the will of Allah, and that Allah, He has the ability to do all things, and that nothing happens in this kingdom, and this creation, and this universe, except with the permission of Allah. And therefore, the child will know Allah, and will trust and rely upon Allah alone, and fear Allah, and not mankind. And fear Allah and not mankind. Fear Allah, the one who has authority over mankind, and not mankind. Fearing Allah, fearing the Creator, not the creation. Fearing Allah, fearing Him alone, fearing the Creator, not the creation. She says, عَلِّقِ قَلْبَهُ بِاللَّهِ, عَلِّقِ قَلْبَهُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, وَبَعْضُ الْأَطْفَالِ تُعَلَّقُ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِالدُّنْيَا وَبِالشَّهَادَاتِ وَيُمْلَأُ قَلْبَهُ بِالْأَوْهَامِ فَرُبَّمَا يَخَافُ مِنْ ظِلِّهِ فَرُبَّمَا يَخَافُ مِنْ ظِلِّهِ. She says that some of the children, their hearts are attached to the worldly life. Some of the children, their hearts are being attached to the worldly life and to having diplomas and decrees. Their hearts are being attached to the worldly life, وَبِالشَّهَادَاتِ, and also having diplomas and decrees. This is what their hearts are attached to, and this is what they believe that will be the means for success. And if they do not obtain that, then they will be failures and they will lose. And this is what some of the people have filled the hearts of their children with. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Such failure. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَيُمْلَأُ قَالِبُهُ بِالْأَوْهَامِ. And sometimes the child's heart is being filled with delusion, with ideas that are not real, that are not true, any concepts, and what if this will happen, or if you do this, that will happen. All of these affairs, the hearts are being filled with oham, any delusions, affairs that are possibilities or probabilities of hardships that could happen that are not certain. فَرُبَّمَا يَخَافُ مِنْ ظِلِّهِ, until the extent that maybe the child will be afraid of his own shadow. Until the extent that maybe the child will be afraid of his own shadow, and he's scared, and afraid, and weak, and a coward. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, afraid of his own shadow. He will see his own shadow and become scared. And this is an example that one will make for being a great coward. A great coward. And they will say, فُلَانٌ شُجَاعٌ إِلَّا أَنُّهُ يَخَافُ مِنْ ظِلِّهِ. So-and-so is so brave except for the fact that he's afraid of his own shadow. So-and-so is so brave except for the fact that he's afraid of his own shadow. So this is blameworthy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not a coward, whether he was brave. He was the bravest of mankind. And he was known for shaja'a sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ يَسْتَعِيذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ الْجُبْنِ مِنَ الْبُخَلِ وَالْجُبْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge with Allah from being stingy and greedy and from being a coward, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this comes from bad and foul cultivation, attaching the child's heart to the worldly life and to what is considered success in the pop culture or in the eyes of the people. those who have no understanding of this life and its reality, and those who have forgotten their souls, and those who do not remember that they would die, and those who have no knowledge except for the knowledge of engineering or the knowledge of the worldly sciences and the knowledge of this modern day technology or the knowledge of the worldly life. They have no knowledge of the hereafter. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They only know that which is apparent from the worldly life. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. And as for the hereafter, then they are heedless about that affair. So the true knowledge is the knowledge of the hereafter. The true knowledge is the knowledge that will lead one to the pleasure of Allah. This is what one must cultivate his child upon. Then as for the worldly life, then this knowledge likewise it comes second hand. And the one who is strong and upright in his faith and relying upon Allah Azza wa Jal, then from that tawakkul and reliance that he has in his heart, and from that faith, it will carry him likewise to take care of his worldly life and to seek the proper means of livelihood that is allowed for him. So the point is that you must attach the heart of the child to Allah by reminding the child about Allah. First and foremost, teaching the child about Allah, the beautiful names and attributes of Allah, and the tawheed of Allah, and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this life is in the hands of Allah, and at the command of Allah, and that we are all returning back to Allah, and He is the one who has created us, and He is providing for us and sustaining us, and that this life is a test and a trial. And that this life is a test and a trial. And one will encourage the child to do some good, but he will not say, if you do this, then I will give you this. If you pray, I will give you a gift. Rather you say, if you pray, then inshallah, Allah will guide me. Then maybe Allah will guide me to give you a gift. Maybe Allah will guide me to give you a gift. Allah, He says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْإِحْسَانِ. And is there reward for goodness, anything except for good? Meaning that if you're good and you establish the prayer, then inshallah, Allah will guide me to be good to you. And the likes like this. And if from this, from the means of attaching the child's heart to Allah and not to the people, and not to the creation, and not to these delusions, and the likes like this. And many people, their hearts are attached to the worldly life so much that they have sold their hereafter. And the first thing that will go in their life is the religion and the deen. And the easiest thing to violate and to perpetrate and to do away with are the commandments of Allah. Are the commandments of Allah, wa'adhu billah, at the cost of a dollar. They will sell that for a dollar or two or three. Or maybe some of them, they will only do it for 100. In any case, it's all pity and it's all misery, portion of this worldly life. So a believer, he's allowed to have a portion of this worldly life, but not at the cost of the hereafter. So from the means to be successful upon that way is that the parent will cultivate the child from an early age to attach their heart with love, to attach their heart with love and trust and reliance and sincere faith, with tawheed, with veneration and magnification and honor and respect and love for Allah and the deen of Allah and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to put one's sincere faith wholeheartedly in Allah, and to know that nothing happens except by the permission and the command of Allah, and according to the ultimate knowledge and supreme wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, she mentions the point number 17. She says, اِحْتَمِّي بِحِفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ وَحَفِّظِي وَلَدَكِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا وَلَوْ آيَةً وَاحِدًا. That you must have concern with the memorization of the Qur'an. Oh sister, you must be diligent and concerned greatly with memorizing the Qur'an. And you must help your child likewise to memorize the Qur'an. Every day, something even if it's little. And even if it's one verse, you help your child to memorize something from the Qur'an daily, even if it's one verse. And now she begins to mention some beneficial points with regards to the Qur'an. And inshallah, we'll take this in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.